All right. God leads us along and wants to. Please remain standing. Most of you got that drill by now for the scripture. We're in Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 this morning. And it says this: Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed about me. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I will look again towards the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. That they observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning. And again, just for the example for our own lives out of the life of Jonah, Lord, we just see all of his trouble and tribulations, and yet the great mercy that you provided him. Lord, I pray this morning we would just really take that into our own lives, our own heart. Help us, Lord, this morning to build a consistent relationship with you. Lord, rather than simply trusting you in times of difficulty, that we would just develop that communication ongoing in our own lives. Help us understand this morning, Lord, that the crisis Christianity usually doesn't last past the crisis. Oh, Lord, we're even reminded this morning of the 9/11, 21 years ago now, this very day, Lord, that people united in prayer and concern over that great crisis, but we did see that fade away quickly. So, Lord, we pray for our country today, especially as we remember and always want to remember just the sacrifice of those great first responders, Lord, and the loss of all those people. Lord, it just brings to mind that you were our very first responder that came to save us. Thank you for that, Lord. Then this morning, Lord, encourage us to go ahead and make vows to you, but then, Lord, to keep them for your glory. So bless our time together, bless each one that came and is on the live stream, that you would speak to us individually to our very hearts. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Hard to believe it's 21 years ago, isn't it, that the great crisis. And, I'm sure, like me, you just can picture the first scenes you saw of that and the reports, and just incredible. Sure, 21 years, this doesn't seem possible, but it's good to remember. And it's good to remember what God has to say through all that for us. Well, so far, it says we might appear that we're being a little hard on Jonah. And I think a little hard on ourselves, possibly, too. Well deserved. But by the time we get to Jonah chapter 4, a couple of years away, I think that we're all going to agree that his sudden spirituality in chapter 2 is flawed, to say the least. And again, that's one of those things I hadn't really thought of or saw in this story before, so it'll be an interesting lesson, I think, in that regard. Our text, again, said in chapter 2, verse 1, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Took him to pray, he had to get inside that fish's belly first. Jonah didn't pray about obeying God or buying a ticket to Tarshish or about sleeping during the storm. But now, when his life is hanging in the balance, he suddenly gets serious enough to pray about his circumstance. Remember, we were a little amazed that, you know, he's sleeping through this storm, and even knowing that he's the cause of it, you know, is so pretty amazing response. But all of a sudden, now he's going, okay, I better start praying. I'm stuck in this fish's belly. The author goes on, and I can certainly relate to a lot of this. I'm sure you can. He says, as a boy, I hated going to the dentist. Due to soft teeth, I always had multiple cavities that needed to be drilled out and then filled. I don't think I have a tooth in my head that wasn't, it didn't have a cavity filling in it. Well, in those days, not mine, fortunately, they didn't use painkillers of any kind, and dentists were trained in the art of torture. I remember one day sitting in the dentist chair waiting for him to start poking around in my mouth. My eyes were already watering just thinking about the pain I was about to endure. As a small boy, I began to pray. I said, "Dear Lord, if you will let me get out of this chair without a single cavity just this once, I will never sin again." I was as sincere as I could be, and even though I was not saved, I had never been more honest in my life. Well, to my surprise, the dentist could not find a single cavity in my mouth. He was as shocked as I was as he took that little napkin from around my neck and told me I could go. As I stood to my feet, God reminded me of my promise. I knew that I could never keep what I had vowed, and it served as a lesson in my life to be careful about what I prayed during times of adversity. So a lesson well learned, you know. He, at least at that young age and unsaved, he knew he wasn't going to be able to keep his vow of not ever sinning again. So good for him in doing that and realizing his mistake. Well, that story in Jonah first, we see Jonah had, and we can have, an affliction-driven principles. Sometimes our principles are based on affliction and what it drives us to. Again, our text, chapter 2, verse 2 says, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord." He cried, or he prayed to God because of his affliction. And all of a sudden, he's afflicted and he cries out. Okay, so he kind of had this principle, if you will, of waiting till he was suffering. When is the last time you prayed? Does it take some crisis for you to find a place on your knees? Oh, sure, we need to pray in times of affliction. I am for praying when we're afflicted. Okay, we need to, and we should. Totally appropriate to do that. But God wants our worship all of the time. He wants us to always be in contact with him. You remember the life of Daniel. Daniel was a consistent man of God. As a result of that, his enemies conspired against him, and they got the king to sign a petition making it illegal to pray. If you remember the story, it's there on your worksheet, Daniel 6:10. Says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God." And then emphasis, "as he did aforetime." Is what he just didn't do it because of that. He'd been doing this his entire life there. Yes, he needed to pray during this affliction, but nothing changed when the affliction came. He didn't start a new habit. He continued with the well-ingrained habits and trained habits that he already had. He had been praying long before this trial came into his life. Well, Jonah was, letter A, a motivated rebel. All of a sudden, he was motivated. Our text again in verse 2 says, And said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Affliction is a powerful motivator. You know, that does get us on our knees often, and it motivates us. And there's more like that. Samson had run a course of disobedience. Warning after warning had gone unheeded. Close call after close call had been casually cast aside. Now, with his eyes put out and the crowd jeering him, a true, really real affliction, he says there on the worksheet, Judges 16:28, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Well, you know, again, that motivated all of a sudden to pay attention. He had lots of opportunity. We have lots of opportunity. Sometimes it takes that affliction to get our attention, unfortunately. At least it gets it. You know, I think we know a lot of people that don't even get it then. You know, and we pray that they would turn to God. But we as Christians need to be a little more aware of that, I think. Well, the result was a miserable reward. Got a miserable reward. There is pleasure in sin for a season, Hebrews 11:25 tells us. That's where it says Moses suffered affliction for the season of sin. And then Proverbs 15:21 says, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. You know, if we really understand and understand God, we'll, you know, should keep us walking a little straighter, a little more upright. And, you know, if we don't have that wisdom, then folly follows. We can be pretty foolish, pretty foolish. The path of disobedience may be smooth sailing for a while, but the season of sin is always short. And we get reminded of that pretty quickly when we go down those terrible paths. Whatever price Jonah was unwilling to pay when God asked him to preach in Nineveh now seems pretty meager in comparison to the cost of his disobedience. You know, he'd have been a lot better off, obviously, if he'd have listened the first time. He didn't have to go through this affliction that got his attention. Again, the text, verses 3 through 6. For thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed around about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I love that picture. Just in there, you know, it's obviously true. You know, you got all the seaweed and the plankton and whatever the fish are eating. Just, he's down there in the midst of this belly. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So he recognizes that God is bringing him out of that. On the worksheet, Proverbs 11:19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. There we get just rewards for pursuing evil. And, you know, sometimes we, on the evil people, we wish it might come quicker. You know, God's judgment, but it's going to come. Then Ecclesiastes 10:1 tells us, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Wow, there's a picture, you know, just the, you know, just you can picture the dead flies and the stink that comes up. And it says, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So it's that, just like us, when we're being silly like dead flies, just stinking up the place, if you will. Something to think about. Well, not only do we have affliction principles, that leads to adversity-driven prayers. Number two there, adversity-driven prayers. That's when we pray. Verse 7 out of our text. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. He knew where his prayers were going. You know, that he had got to be in the presence there of the holy temple. The prayers were being heard. Well, this is what might be called cries from a foxhole, letter A. You know, we've probably heard that term, foxhole prayers. And sometimes that's exactly where they are, you know, in the battlefield. That's why we like to support the missionaries to the military. You know, they're likely to experience something like that. And if that's when they're going to turn, then good. Something gets their attention. Well, this if there was ever a foxhole prayer, this was it for Jonah. David prayed a similar prayer there on the worksheet, Psalm 69, verses 1 through 5. It says, save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail when I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. David experiencing all that, you know, the people after him, his enemies, and, you know, the very near death several times, but he would cry out to the God at those times. Well, through it all, we see, letter B, concern from a father. Praise God, we see the concern from a father. Verse 27 in our text to Jonah 2 says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. The father was listening. The father of a prodigal is disappointed, to say the least, but he always waits for his son to return. Praise God for that. He's waiting for us to come back. God sometimes puts us in the dark to prove to us that he is the light. Sometimes we have to be in the dark before we look for the light. And then we find him as that light. Vance Havner said, quote, sometimes your medicine bottle has on it, shake well before using. Well, that is what God has to do with some of his people. He has to shake them well before they're ever usable, unquote. You know, then that's so true. You know, sometimes something has to shake us up. Shake us up. Get our attention. But what tremendous grace he offers us. There on the worksheet, Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Oh, praise God. Wonderful words of reassurance that he wants to give us mercy, even when we sure don't deserve it. Thank you, Jesus. And then Isaiah 43:25 there too says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Wow. You know, that's God. He's speaking as God. He doesn't even remember our sins. I was talking to somebody the other day, but unfortunately we remember ours. You know, I think that's part of the cost of sinning, that we can remember that. So amazing and wonderful to think God doesn't even remember them. Jesus took that all away. I'm not going to bring them up again. Wow. That's really merciful. God never tires of true repentance. When we repent, he doesn't get tired. Look at Psalm 51:17 there on your worksheet. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. When we have a contrite heart and we're sorry, God doesn't despise that. He welcomes that. Praise God. Well, then, we make avoidance-driven promises. You know, we'll promise most anything to avoid some affliction, won't we? Well, you know, we want to avoid that. Our text again in verse 9 says, I will pay that I have vowed. Jonah's going to, okay, I'll pay what I vowed now that I've been afflicted. When we make promises to God, we must make sure that we have every intent to keep them. We don't want to get swallowed up in the dark of a fish's belly. He kept his vow to preach the word of God like he should have. Promises made simply to escape punishment are not pleasing to God. You know, he might hear him and all that, but you can imagine, you can't be pleased that we're just trying to avoid punishment when we well deserve it. So we should use, letter A, a careful voice. A careful voice. Again, out of verse 9, it says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. You know, he's changing his tune. You know, now he's going to be thankful for everything God has done in his life and is doing. Do you think that Jonah was really thankful? He wasn't thankful in chapter 1, and we're going to see that he won't be thankful again in chapter 4. Wow. You know, after already praying this prayer, we're going to see that he wasn't again. So what is motivating this sudden gratefulness? James reminds us in James 5:12, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. You know, we're warned not to just say things we don't mean and to mean what we say. We must be careful with the words we speak and the promises we make. Certainly to one another, but obviously to God. You know, be careful of those promises. And mean them, and then do everything we can to keep them. And we need to be aware of a continued vow, letter B, a continued vow. The last part of Jonah 2:9 says, I will pay that I have vowed. So now he's willing to pay what he had vowed. God takes our vows seriously. There in the worksheet, Numbers 30, verse 2, says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Wow. Saying, okay. You know, and we saw back in the Old Testament a lot of failing in that area. I mean, they'd come to God, they'd fall away. But the law was, you'll pay your vow if you make that to God. Deuteronomy 23:21 there on the sheet too says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Wow, pretty plain right there again. You know, you're going to vow to God, you better do it, or he's going to collect. You know, and collection can be painful. Ask Jonah. You know, and many of us here too, you know, we've done that and been there. And it's an interesting statement here the author has. I believe, he says, that we would see revival in our churches if every member would make just one decision. I don't know if we would ever need to make another decision after this one. It says just one more decision would change everything. Do you know what that decision would be? It would be to keep every decision we've already made. Just decide to keep our previous promises. To keep our decisions that we'd made. You know, I just thought that picture, you know, we swear on the Bible, you know. They still do that, I think, in a lot of courtrooms. Doesn't seem to mean much anymore. I pity those people when it comes their time for judgment. Got to be careful. Because then, it made me think of last week's comment from Mark Twain to the businessman that was going to proclaim the Ten Commandments on the mountaintop. And Mark Twain said, I got a better idea, just stay and keep them. Stay home and keep your promises and the commandments of God. Then we can have, letter C, a certain victory. You want certain victory? Keep our promises and our vows to God. Jonah 2:9 again says, salvation is of the Lord. Amen. This may be the only really true phrase uttered in this entire prayer of Jonah. He recognized that salvation is of the Lord. If victory comes, it can come no other way but through the Lord. You know, we can't do it on our own. You know, yeah, we try and we strive and we should, but we need God's help, obviously. We need to be looking at him and in contact with him to do that very thing. There's three verses there on your worksheet about that. Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. You know, we try to do it on our own, but he is our strength. Psalm 20:7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, it doesn't matter what the neighbor's doing or what they're trusting in. You know, they might be trusting for the Seahawks to win tomorrow night. You know, that's not going to do them much good. You know, we just need to trust in God. Well, no matter how dark the situation, there's always hope in God. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57, there in the worksheet. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get our victory, people, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And only through there. Praise God. What a merciful and loving God we have. So don't wait for the foxhole to start building your relationship with God. You'll have a lot more confidence in your God if you obey him before the bullets start flying. The storm in Paul's life, as recorded in Acts 27, was just as severe as the one Jonah faced here. But while Jonah fears for his life, Paul is at perfect peace in the will of God, and we can be too. Praise God. We see that, you know, Paul had some dire circumstances, just as bad, if not worse, even than Jonah, but he stayed faithful through it. That's our example, you know, and obviously Jesus is our main example with all the affliction that they imposed on him to stay faithful and true to what he came for. Well, it says a short prayer can reach God if you don't live too far away. I like that. Made me think, and most of us gray hairs will remember this type of communication. You know, the old... Remember doing that? I mean, I remember, oh boy, couldn't wait, you know. And I actually looked it up. The world record is 796 feet, almost 800 feet. Somebody, if the line's tight enough that they set a record on being able, you know, that's a pretty good deal. Almost three, you know, 2.5 football fields or something like that, that they could do that. Well, then they improved on that and they came up with the telephone, you know, and amazing. And I remember after I spent a little time in Australia, got home, called some friends I'd made, and it was $70 for, you know, 10 minutes. That's a lot of money back in 1975. You know, it was like a week's wage to make a phone call, you know, going through the telephone lines. Well, after that, and nowadays they come up, now we have cell towers, you know, even better. We can call anywhere in the world for free, you know, depending on your plan, I guess, but, you know, pretty crazy, the improvements and the communication we can have with anybody anywhere. But the one thing that hasn't changed and they haven't improved of is the communication in prayer. We can talk to God anywhere, anytime, and have been able to since the beginning. It's a wonderful example of being close to him if we use it, you know. Don't be stuck on the string or on your phone. I've had the thought, maybe put God's name in my speed dial, you know. Won't call him, but at least it'll remind me, okay, I got to call God on this and then pray. You know, if that's a little tip you could use, do that. You know, just, okay, I want to talk to God today and have it come up so that he's on our speed dial. We don't need to. All we got to do is hit the ground, hit the floor with our knees. And we don't even need to do that. You know, we can bow right now and pray and talk to him. What a privilege. Amen. You know, what a privilege and honor he's given us to do that. So, with that, let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for this life of Jonah and just all the pitfalls and the things that he has done wrong. But Lord, we just see our own lives and so much of that, things we have done. And Lord, your mercies abound to us. Thank you, O Lord, for that. Thank you for this wonderful privilege of prayer. Lord, that we can be wherever we're at and reach you any time of day or night. It doesn't take a system to be up and running and operating. You are always up and operating. Thank you for that, Lord. I just pray that you would just give us the resolve, Lord, to even vow to stay in prayer to you and keep those vows. Lord, that we would be careful of the promises we make and even good intentions. Lord, we need your strength to keep. So give us that strength. Just imbue us with your faith and the strength that only you can provide us. So thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for all that came. We pray for the service to follow as we, again, look at the armor that you've supplied, more graciousness and mercies that you've given us, and the armor you've provided for us to use in your word and through the preaching of your word. So bless Pastor Josh as he brings that. And just thank you for all you're doing here at the church and in the lives. And Lord, protect our people, I pray, from this smoke and the things going on. And just bring us back together To just have a good day here at your church. So we thank you for it. Ask your blessing upon that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, next week we have the proceeding of the journey. So we're just really getting started. Now we got the next step that we're going to start looking at in Jonah's life and again to encourage us.